Well, it's good to be together this morning. How are we doing? Doing okay, generally? Probably like many of you, I've been listening to the news quite a bit recently. And when the news outlets say that it's been a bad week, you know it's been a bad week. As most of you know, last week we learned about the mass shooting at Brown University. We learned about the murder of Robin Michelle Reiner. And then we learned about the killing of 15 people with dozens more seriously wounded who had gathered at Bondi Beach, Australia, to celebrate Hanukkah. A tough week. But for millions of people around the world, it's been more than just a bad week. 2025 has actually been a bad year. Over 240,000 people around the world were killed in conflict-related violence. Virtually everyone in Palestine was exposed to violence, making it the country with the most dangerous conflict in the world for civilians. And Ukraine was the country with the most deadly violence in the world, with nearly 78,000 people killed. It's been a bad week. It's been a bad year for many. But for some of us, it's even more personal than that. Some of us have recently lost loved ones, or in some cases, loved animals, household pets. Some of us are dealing with chronic pain, and others are just dealing with ongoing serious health-related issues. Some of us even here are worried about not being able to pay for health insurance at the turn of the new year. And several are worried about not being able to pay for their heating going into what begins today, winter. Some of us are deeply lonely. Some of us are afraid. Some of us don't feel loved at all, forgotten, not seen. So this is so important, what we're doing. We're gathering together. As Karen mentioned, it's the beginning of the fourth week of Advent, and this is the week especially when we are reminded that the world is actually a very dark place. And so it's fitting for us to light that fourth candle, that fourth Advent candle, the love candle. And we do this in defiance of what feels like overwhelming darkness. That's why we light the candle, in defiance, because we know it's not right. Advent is a time when we remember that the light of Christ shines through the darkness, and the end of his light will prevail. And we hold on to this promise from John 1:5 when we lose hope. So, in the meantime, we wait with expectant hope. That was our first candle. And we pray for peace, for shalom, for justice. And that was the second candle. And in the strength of God's joy, the third candle, we find strength to shine as brightly as we can the light of Christ in his love. the fourth candle. And we do this by faith as we wait expectantly for the return of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's this love, it's God's love that pierced the darkness and came to dwell among us. And it's this light that shines in the darkness, and we know that the darkness will ultimately not overcome it. No other passage of Scripture is perhaps well known, I think, as John 3:16. This verse and the following one, verse 17, is going to be our text for this morning. So I'm going to invite you to do something that we traditionally don't do, but I feel like it's worth doing today. If you would please stand if you're able, and we're going to read together John 3:16-17. So let's read this together. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. So God, thank you for your word. God, we pray that you would use your word, God, to accomplish your work in our lives, in our church, in this community, and to the ends of the earth. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. I think that one of the reasons why these verses are so well known is because they beautifully capture the essence of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. They reveal, I think, also the true meaning of Christmas and what's at the heart of this Advent season. From this verse, we learn that Advent love is sacrificial. Love in our culture, as we know, is often focused on getting more than giving, on receiving actually more than redeeming. This is in sharp contrast to God's love, which is always focused on giving and redeeming. God's love is more than just a feeling, it's an action. God gave. The Apostle Paul put it this way: God demonstrated his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Some of you know this story, but it's worth repeating, I believe. It was in July 1941. Prisoner escaped from Auschwitz. And as a reprisal, the Gestapo selected 10 men arbitrarily to die in a starvation bunker. The name of one of the men selected was Francis Gajanicek. It's difficult for me to pronounce, but that's his name. When he was selected, he cried out, "Oh, my poor wife and children, they'll never see me again." And it was at that moment that a little guy, a Polish man in wire-framed glasses, stepped out of line. He took off his cap and he said, "Look, I'm a Catholic priest, so I don't have a wife. I don't have children. I actually would like to die in that man's place." So, to everyone's amazement, his offer was accepted and he was taken to the starvation bunker. On August 14th, 1941, he was the last one to die in that bunker. He kept up an amazing atmosphere, apparently. He got them singing hymns and praying. But on August 14th, 1941, Gestapo, they needed the bunker for other people. So the Nazis gave Francis gave the Catholic priest his lethal injection, and it killed him instantly. 41 years later, at St. Peter's Square in Rome, this man's death was put into proper perspective. To a crowd of 150,000 people, 26 cardinals, 300 archbishops and bishops, along with Francis Gajonicek, the Pope paid tribute to Maximilian Kolbe. He was that 47-year-old Polish priest who stepped forward to give away his life. The Pope said that this man's death, because he had offered it freely as a loving sacrifice, was a, quote, victory like the one won by our Lord Jesus Christ. Francis Gajonicek spent the rest of his life until his death at the age of 93 years old, going around telling everybody about the love of this man, Maximilian, who died in his place. And this week, we learn the names of Boris and Sophia Gurman, the couple from Sydney, Australia, and then another man, Reuven Morrison, who sacrificed their lives in the Bondi terrorist attack after trying to stop what became that country's worst mass shooting in nearly 30 years. These brave individuals sacrificed their lives in an effort to save the lives of others. Knowingly or unknowingly, they were doing, I think, just as Jesus Christ has commanded us all to do. When he said, love others as I have loved you. For greater love has no one than this, but to lay down his life for one's friends. That's from John 15. And in an even more amazing, incredible, and wonderful way, Jesus has died in your place and in mine. The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me, and the Son of God loved you and gave himself for you. Why? So that we could experience the fullness of life now and life eternal with him forever, along with all the saints who receive the free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. So the first revelation that we get from John 3:16 and 17 is that Advent love is sacrificial love. God gave, and so we give. The second thing we learn from John 3:16 and 17 is that Advent love is universal. Notice the scope of God's love. God so loved the world. His love isn't just for people from a particular nation, like the nation of Israel, or the so-called righteous ones, whoever they are, or the ones that have it all figured out, those perfect Instagram ones, right? God's love isn't just for the people who regularly go to church every time the church building is open. The Apostle Paul said it this way, that Jesus died for all, that those who live shall no longer live for themselves, but for all who died for them and was raised again. Jesus died for all. When the religious people during Jesus' day ridiculed him for eating and socializing with the people that they considered not worthy of God's love, Jesus rebuked them. And he said, those who are well have no need for a physician, but those who are sick. I come not to call the righteous, but sinners. Praise be to God. There's an unfortunate belief held by some that God only helps those who help themselves. Perhaps you've heard this lie. Nothing could be further from the truth. God helps those, in fact, who know that they need help and who know that without God's help, they, in fact, remain helpless. Again, Paul made this clear in 5:8 Romans when he wrote, God demonstrated his own love for us even while we were still stuck in our sin. Christ had compassion and died for us. God loved the world, the whole world, the entire flaw, scattered and hostile human race. The message of Advent is inherently inclusive. When the angels appeared to the shepherds the night Jesus was born, we heard it. They declared the good news that continues to cause great joy for people all around the world. A Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Good news for all. When John the Baptist saw Jesus approaching, he announced, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." This is a powerful message and a powerful reminder for us today. Our faith calls us to reject this lie that God's love is only for special people. In fact, our faith calls us to reflect that his love is in fact universal and non-discriminatory. If God's love comes for everyone, regardless of nationality, gender, age, political opinions, or past mistakes, then our love must also reach beyond our comfortable circles. The light of Advent needs to shine on everyone. From John 3:16-17, we learn that God's love is sacrificial. We learn that it's universal. Additionally, Advent love is redemptive. Praise God. This is a remarkable, comforting truth. Verse 17 clarifies the intent of God's love. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. The baby in the manger is not a judge holding a gavel. He is a deliverer holding out a hand. The Old Testament law condemned. Our failures condemn. Our inner voices condemn. But the love of Advent season sets a different course. The love that drove Christ's birth was not motivated by a desire to punish or condemn, but by an overwhelming desire to rescue, to redeem. The entire story of Christmas is a story of salvation. It is God saying, I know you are broken, but I love you too much to leave you that way. I will come to you. I will be with you. I will save you. So how do we, as people who have received this sacrificial, universal, and redemptive love, how do we live during the season of waiting, the season of Advent, when we're waiting, actually, for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ? How do we reflect his love, this love to the world? How do we do this? This is, in fact, where Advent season becomes an active challenge or an active invitation, not just a cozy tradition. First, we're invited to put love in action. We celebrate Christmas by giving gifts because the wise men brought gifts and because God gave the ultimate gift. But let's make sure this season that our giving is rooted in John 3:16, 17. Who is your world right now? Do you know of a struggling neighbor or a coworker, a friend, a family member? Is there somebody that you are struggling with, finding it hard to forgive? This week, the invitation, this special week, the invitation, just ask God for one person. Who's one person that's maybe not easy for you to love? In fact, you would maybe just rather not be around them this week. How does God feel about them? And could God maybe change your heart? And could you maybe show some love to them in a remarkable, unexpected way this week? Maybe it would just simply be a kind word or a selfless act of service, a generous deed, or simply perhaps just your time. Somebody once said that love can be spelled T-I-M-E. Sometimes that's all we need to do, is just spend time with somebody. And that's the greatest expression of love. So we're invited to put love in action. We're invited to show love in forgiveness. The love of Christ is redemptive, meaning it seeks to heal and restore. There can be no true peace or joy this Advent until we open up our own hearts to both receive and to extend or to offer forgiveness. Oftentimes, it just begins with us first. Have you accepted the reality that you actually are no longer condemned? Can you receive that truth this Advent season? That Christ's birth means, in fact, that you are loved. Loved. The invitation is to embrace this truth, embrace this freedom. Is there a relationship that needs redemption in your life? A rift that needs mending? The invitation is just simply this, as if it's easy. It's not. The radical love of God wants to motivate us to radical acts of forgiveness. Beginning this week. Forgiveness is not forgetting, as we know. It's just simply letting go of your right to get even. And it's giving God back the power that really belongs to him. That's what forgiveness really is. I'd like to invite the worship team up as we begin to wrap up. So Advent love, it's an invitation to put love in action. It's an invitation to put love in forgiveness, and it's an invitation to put love in expectation. Advent is about waiting with expectancy. We are remembering the first coming of Jesus Christ when he was birthed in a manger. And we prepare for the second coming during the season and throughout the year for Jesus returning in glory. The one command that remains for those of us who are waiting is this command to love. Jesus summed it up beautifully this way in John 13. He said, "By this Everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. The greatest way to prepare for his return, the greatest way to celebrate his birth, is to put his love on display, because love is the only light that truly pierces the darkness. I've been a couple of times looking at the glowing light of this love candle. And for me anyway, and perhaps for some of you, it's a reminder of this personal invitation to let the love of God, which was so powerful that it emptied heaven to fill a manger, let this love, this powerful love, fill your heart. A heart that sometimes is filled more with fear and resentment and selfishness. Let it be emptied of those things and let it be filled, in fact, with his courage and his compassion, with his selflessness, with his love. This week, the invitation. This very special week. The invitation is to go out and to live John 3:16 and 17 in a way perhaps you never have before. Live as people who know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are so loved by God that he gave you everything. And in response, would you give him everything? Give his love away just as it was given to you freely. So give it away freely to those in your world. It has a ripple effect. I think we would all agree that the world needs more of his love. Amen. But before I send you out, we're going to stay here a little bit longer. And we're going to respond. We're going to worship with our voices the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came to us as a baby, but he now rules as Savior and Lord of all. Would you stand and sing as we worship?